Today is Tuesday, June 26th, the year 2001. We're on campus in East Lansing. I'm Jeff Charmley, along with Dr. Fred Honhart, interviewing the former women's golf coach, Mary Fossum, for the MSU Oral History Project for the university's sesquicentennial coming up in the year 2005. Coach Fossum, as you can see, we would like to tape this interview. Do you give us permission to tape record?
Yes, I do.
I'd like to start first with some general educational and personal information about you. Some questions on how maybe that affected your career. Where do you grow up and go to high school?
I was born and raised in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and met Bruce over there, my husband, and we came over to Michigan State in 1959, and he was assistant basketball coach at that time.
Did you play sports in high school?
Well, to the extent that they had them. I do remember even in fifth grade we had a softball team, which I think of back in those days was kind of unheard of, and we actually competed with other elementary schools. But in high school it was they didn't have a golf team. But we played the usual basketball, softball, badminton, tennis, ran, played, had fun. But that was just usually, that was very usual, I think, for that era. Since I'm dating myself, I have to go back to the 40s, but that was very usual. But they didn't have a golf team, but my dad was a very avid golfer, and so that's why I was interested in whatever he was interested in. Mm-hmm. So it was golf.
Did you have siblings?
Yes, I had one sister. Mm-hmm. I still have her, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. And when did you start learning, when did you play golf?
When I was 6 years old.
Six.
I used to just trail along with my dad and his foursome and keep score and, you know, get treats and roam the golf course with him. So I really got started at a very early age. So for as long as I've been playing it, you'd think I'd play it a little better right now.
You didn't play competitively
Yes, I did. I played like in the Wisconsin State Am tournaments. Yeah. And they had Northeastern Wisconsin, and they had local tournaments. So I became competitive probably when I was 17, and that summer after I graduated from high school. So then I played in some national tournaments and just had a really good time.
Mm-hmm. How would you characterize women's golf at that time?
Well, it was very competitive. There was not a professional group at that time. There were women pros that were teaching and playing, but they didn't have an organization, of course, like they do now. But they just celebrated the 50th anniversary of the LPGA, and some of the people that were involved in that were some that I had played against and knew and know, but don't get to see them very much now. The one I think I'm probably closest to is Patty Berg. Mm-hmm. She and I have been good friends for probably 50 years. It's hard to say that when you think about friendships and everything, but she's been a very good friend, and she's probably my idol. I always thought she did more for women's golf than anybody else. A lot of people will say that Babe Zaharias was the number one person in golf because of her talent. But I think that probably Patty did more because of her interest in junior golf and trying to help everybody. Though I have to say, I did beat Babe at one time. I think that's my one claim to glory in a tournament.
What happened there?
It was in the semifinals of the Women's Western Tournament in Cleveland. And I was just a rather young, naive girl, and here was the Babe, and it was pretty exciting. But I did beat her 2-1, and then lost in the finals to Louise Suggs. I ran out of steam and all the golf shots too. I think my putter failed me.
You played a good round that day?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was a pretty exciting tournament, and then I played in some other national tournaments after that, and I'd get to the quarterfinals of something, but probably in Wisconsin I won the State Am 3 times in a row. So I finally went into their Hall of Fame. It took a while, though. Another one of those long, delayed things.
What was the best part of your game at that time?
Probably my putting, my short game. I was fairly accurate. I wasn't very long off the tee, but I think probably my short game saved me more than anything else.
The did you have school beyond?
No, I, as a matter of fact, I enrolled in an extension in Green Bay of the University of Wisconsin, and that didn't last because I went down to Florida to work, so I could try to play golf a little bit more. So I had a seasonal job. Well, first, actually, I worked at I can't even think of it right now, but I did go down and work for Bordeaux Products Company in Winter Haven, Florida. And then I got to play a little bit more golf, and I was a big baby. I didn't like to be away from home. But it worked out fine. I did that. And so then our family arrived after Bruce and I got married. And
how'd you
so we have four children. On the golf course.
On the golf
course. Because he loves to play golf, too.
So how was it that you came to Michigan State?
Bruce came over as assistant basketball coach at the request of Forty Anderson. I think probably the connection was that Lance Olson had played at West High School basketball, and he came to Michigan State. I don't know if the name Charlie Phillips, who's passed away, but he was a great basketball friend and fan, and he came over to watch Lance, and we got acquainted with him. So that kind of evolved, and so we came over here for an interview and decided to make the move.
What were some of your early impressions of the university?
Well, it was really funny. I just hated the thought of leaving Green Bay. I'd lived there all my life, and to go someplace else that far away. And my mother and dad were still living, and I really didn't want to go. Once we got over here, I couldn't imagine a better place to be. Fortunately, we just made some really good friends in the athletic department, and we just loved it. So it was a good decision, but at the time it was like, I don't know, it's a different atmosphere, but I think there can be nothing greater than a university atmosphere. Having your children grow up here, I think we've been very lucky.
How was it that you became the coach of the women's golf team?
Well, the conversation started in 1972 in the fall, and Biggie Munn, who was an athletic director at that time, cornered Bruce one day, and at that time Bruce had become the men's golf coach in 1966. And so he said, Bruce, do you think that Mayor would like to start a women's golf team? And he said, I don't know. And he said, why don't you ask her? So he said, well, just feel her out a little bit and see what she'll say. And so I said, well, I really hadn't thought about it because we had two small boys at home and the girls were a little older, but I really hadn't thought that much about leaving the nest. And so I did talk to Biggie, and he directed me over to the women's IM, and I can't think of Carol's last name at the time, but she was more or less in charge of physical education at the university at that time. So we kind of talked about it and talked about what the possibilities would be and how maybe we could arrange it, get some competition for the spring of 73. And so that was kind of the first process. And after I came home, and then Bruce and I talked about it too, because I thought, well, he can kind of steer me in the right direction as far as, you know, papers to fill out, forms to do, travel, you know, how to do this and, you know, when to do that. And with his help then, I thought, well, I think that would be kind of an exciting adventure. So I was like, okay, I'll do this. I can do this. So I got home, and Bruce and I were talking about it, and he said, well, how much are they going to pay you? And I said, I forgot to ask. So anyway, it wasn't all that much, as you can well imagine. But that was the beginning of just a wonderful time in our lives, though, because with both of us coaching, there weren't too many husbands and wives that were teamed up at any university. And so we really enjoyed it. When I look back on that time, I wonder, how did we do it with our, you know, the grandmothers had come and we had friends, the girls were a little older. We just, you know, we worked it out so that we could be gone. But I basically did my work from the house as much as I could without having to go into an office every day.
Why do you think you wanted to become a coach?
Why? Well, I felt I had a lot of knowledge, and I think at that time there weren't a lot of women at the university that had maybe the time or the skill to teach golf. And it wasn't that I was completely a teacher, I had to be a coordinator as well, but I knew enough about the game and had given clinics and things like that, but I was still considered an amateur and I was not a professional. But they just wanted somebody that had a reputation of being a good golfer, just to get things started. So getting that started lasted 25 years. But I think that the more I got into it, I really love being around the young people. They're so energetic, willing to learn. It was good for me because then I got out and I got to see a lot of old friends with whom I had played that were coaching different places. So it was I just thought it was a great experience. But I think that just the fact that loving the game as much as I always did and Bruce did and our kids, it was just it was very, very good experience for us. But I think I just got started just because being in the right place at the right time because they didn't have anybody else and they did want to get started because of Title IX.
Mm-hmm. What do you think has changed from the time you started till when you retired as far as how you coached?
Well, things have changed, of course. We started out with, you know, just a bare budget, and we traveled, and we did go to a lot of tournaments. We went to a lot of national tournaments, and in those days, it was AIAW. Mm-hmm. We were not a part of the NCAA. But we joined the NCAA and the Big Ten in 1982. Well, by that time, there were a lot of developing programs that were really on the rise, and it was interesting to see the interest that there was. I have to say that being associated with men's golf so much for so many years before, this was a new experience for me too, as far as dedication, interest, numbers. That was a big thing. You could go to a junior tournament and there might be 100 young men there, young boys, and you might have 10 girls. But that was because that wasn't, you know, athletics maybe wasn't the thing to do for young ladies. They had other things to do. So it was really interesting to see how the interest with young people grew over that span of time. And of course now it's off the wall. It's so popular. And how welcomed it is, because women make great athletes. And they aren't to be compared to men. They just are good athletes in their own right. And it was just fun to see that develop. But as you know, you asked about the difference. It was you just had more people to work with. Sometimes I'd have 17 on the team. Now I don't know if you're aware of how, you know, you have to have numbers, mm-hmm. which I hate to think of that in those terms. I think interest should be better than numbers. If somebody is interested in it, they should have the opportunity, but not to go out and get them just to build up your numbers, that kind of thing. But we traveled a lot. I think at first we used to drive the van all the time. I remember driving all night, and then I would get the word that, well, you can't do that because it might be dangerous. Well, but we want to get there, and we're all excited, and rather than waste another day and have the expense of another hotel and all that kind of stuff, let's just get there. And but we just had wonderful experiences at different golf courses, and I think the girls were women, but it was hard for me to say that. And it was usually, hey guys, let's go. time to go and eat, time to do this, get up, all that kind of stuff. But it was, the skill level was so much better too, as I look back on some of the scores even in this media guide. And when we won the Big Ten, things like that, at an early stage, how much higher the scores are than they are right now. It is amazing to me to watch some of these young people now. And Stacy Slobodnik is our coach, as you well know. And this is, she just finished her fourth year, I think. Those young people, I mean, they're shooting in the 60s and low 70s. We used to be happy if we were shooting in the 70s or had maybe two scores in the 70s and then low 80s. Anytime we were under 320 for four scores for 18 holes, we thought we were, you know, making good progress. Only twice did we ever shoot below 300. They do it all the time now. They're shooting in 292, 294, 287. I mean, it's amazing to me. And I think probably the equipment might have a lot to do with it. Maybe the dedication is greater. I know that Stacy has a tremendous amount of energy. And she works them hard. I thought I worked the kids hard. But it's amazing to see how these young people have developed.
Who are some of the more memorable players from your experiences?
Well, the first year that we got started, back in 72, 73, our best player was Bonnie Lauer. And Bonnie had already established herself as a fine player. And we were also able to get together. We actually had 12 girls that came out for that first meeting. So we were pretty enthused. I think it was like 10. A couple of the girls that wanted to be there had a conflict and couldn't come to that first meeting. But we practiced, we got started, we'd go out to the old Parmore and slosh around in the mud a little bit, but Art Pryor was the owner. He said, you can come out as long as you pick up the golf balls. Well, you can imagine what it would be like in the spring. But we didn't have a spring trip in those days. But our first competition was down in Indiana, and I believe in the first part of April. And we went down there, won the tournament. Bonnie was medalist, and she went on that year to be the AIAW medalist. So she was a national champion. So she was very memorable. Some of the girls in that first group, two in particular, Manono Beamer, she came to Michigan State because she knew Duffy. She was from Hawaii, and she and Duffy, I think Duffy was a friend of her mother's and father's, and so she knew the name, and so she thought she would come here and finish her education. And then Carol Peterson, who was a young lady from Lansing. Those two, if they didn't spoil me, oh my goodness, you know, Mayor, you can't pack the van. We'll pack it. We'll get the clubs in. We'll do this. We'll do that. Bruce showed us how to do it. So it was like Bruce would tell kids, well, this is how you pack. At first we had station wagons. We didn't have a van. We had station wagons. So they would do everything. So I was pretty spoiled. But wonderful young people, and we still stay in touch with those three in particular. Then let's see the next group. Well, we had, I don't know if you're familiar with Joan Garrity, but Joan played for 4 years here. And when she graduated in 79, she was number one in her class. And she won a wonderful award from it was an NCAA Rolex award for outstanding achievement outside of golf. Just a year and a half ago, I think her picture actually is in here. So she has done well as a treasurer and vice president over at Meyer. And so she still plays, she has won the state am. She's still playing golf well and doing a wonderful job with her career. She was good. Then Sue Ertl was a very fine golfer and an All-American. She didn't win any national titles, but she went on to be an LPGA professional, as did Bonnie. Bonnie wasn't really our first one. Actually, it was Joyce Kazmierski, who played in the late 60s, was also a national champion. They called it something different. It wasn't AIAW in those days. It was, I think, just the National Collegiate Champion. And she won that in, I think, 67. And so she was really our first champion, but she was not on one of the teams that I had coached. But she still is a wonderful supporter of our program, and and we hear from her on a regular basis. So she was really the first, and then that went on to the LPGA, and then Bonnie did, and Sue Ertl. Then after that, I think it was Barb Mucha, and Barb's still playing on the tour. She's a wonderful player. She just played in the McDonald Championship this last weekend. So she's playing. She's kind of cutting back on her schedule a little bit, planning on being married this next year. So there's a lot of excitement ahead for her. Then let's see who else. Lisa Marino was a fine player. And she tried the tour, but she was too nervous. It was hard for her to kind of settle down. But she played such good golf in college, and was an All-American. Sid Wells from Menominee was an All-American player for us. So we did really have some fine golfers. More recently, probably, is Jen Kangas. Her married name is Brody. And she's playing on the Futures right now, but she had qualified for the LPGA and did play 1 year, but didn't make enough money to keep her card. And so she had to go back to qualifying school, Q school, as they hate to say, and did not qualify. So she went back on the Futures tour, which is kind of a development tour for the young ladies. And she is probably our finest golfer to that point. Now Stacy has some young people. One that just graduated is Casey Gant, and Casey has won all kinds of honors, so you'll probably be reading about her and about Emily Bastel, Stacy Snyder. We have a Casey and a Stacy. Nothing like getting mixed up half the time. But they're just, I know I've missed out on some of the really fine players and people. And we just had such great people. And I think those are the great memories, and the fact that you stay in touch with them, I think that's what I like too. They all go their own ways in different professions, and there are a lot of them that have gone in as assistant pros and teaching pros or working for Titleist with golf clubs. But they're all just fine young people.
What would you say would be the highlight of your coaching career?
Well, that's kind of a hard one. I think the most exciting ones were when we won the Big Ten, when it was, you know, was unofficial Big Ten, because the Big Ten didn't recognize us. We won four in a row, and those were really exciting times, and the other teams were getting better. I think probably the first year or two we were a little head and shoulders above. We won most of the tournaments that we participated in. And but then all of a sudden the other programs, Ohio State and Indiana and Wisconsin, Minnesota, all of them. And some of them didn't really have teams right away. I think the first Big Ten we played in only had five or six. But those were exciting times, because that was laying the foundation for the golf program. We joined the Big Ten in 82, and we won that championship up at Minnesota. And that was a thrill, because that was the first really official one. But I like to think to myself that official or unofficial, we still won five Big Ten titles. And it was just a question of our timing. It wasn't that we didn't want to be in the Big Ten, it was just not to be at that time. But then in 82, when the NCAA wanted men and women under one umbrella, that's when everything kind of happened in a bigger way. But I think probably those early championships were as much of a highlight. I had so many, Fred. I mean, that's the big thing. There were so many wonderful experiences with the kids that, you know, they get. We had some that had a hole in one in a tournament. Oh my goodness, that's good. And so there, we still have some that are on the LPGA, and I didn't mention Becky Iverson, but she played well this last weekend, and she played for us.
How has the game changed over time?
probably the game. You probably have kids starting at a younger age, so they have more knowledge. The equipment is a big factor. You've probably read something about that. I mean, they talk about it all the time. The equipment, the new golf balls, like the Nike ball, it just goes further. I think the golf courses are maybe set up. I mean, they're in better shape, I think. I think golf courses right now that the women are playing on, there are probably different factors, but I think they're starting at a different age and there's a little more of an incentive. It's just like especially with golf, there aren't too many sports that young women can play that they can go on and possibly be successful as a profession. And now, of course, basketball has opened up and tennis. But as far as a professional track person, I mean, you're just thinking back about, but golf has always been something that you could go on and make a good living. And I probably even better instruction. I know they have so many of these academies now where if people have the money to do it, they can go down to Florida, they can go to a lot of different places and have some specialized training. I think that's one of the reasons I admire Tiger Woods so much, is that he does something with the money that he has to try to help the inner city people, young boys and girls. And so he really puts a lot of effort into that. And you like to see that. I think probably there are numerous people that are doing that nowadays to get young people started. So this might be just kind of the beginning, but I think now they do start a little bit earlier.
What was the effect of Title IX on the program?
I think that, the fact that it had to be done, there probably is a comment I'd like to make off the record and not on, if you don't mind my saying this. But that's just something that maybe people don't like to hear, but it's a fact.
Yeah, actually you should put it on the record. So
yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to rub anybody the wrong way, because everybody here has been really good to me. But at the same time, that's how it was. And it's just like in the beginning, the coaches were part-time. Mm-hmm. We weren't considered full-time, so we didn't have the benefits, which didn't bother me because I was on Bruce's plan anyway. So as far as some of the things like that, but the thing that was hard to accept is that I put in 25 years and they only recognized it as like 21 because we were part-time but we worked full-time. We just weren't paid. And so those little differences like that, I think, when you look at a certificate and say 25, that you coach for 25 years, but then it's like 21, then the certificate kind of loses its... It's meaning, but it was interesting. It was good bunch of coaches that we started out with. Michael Casavano was a gymnastics coach. I don't know that he was the first one, but he did take over. Mm-hmm. Nell Jackson was like our administrator. She was a wonderful lady. So we had really good relationships, with the coaches. And got along fine. But I think I can't say for sure, but I'm sure that the men resented a little bit about what happened, because it was a fact. And they didn't win championships after that.
Yeah. How would you say Forest Acres compares to other courses in the Big Ten?
Well, it's wonderful. I think it's the best. They used to say that Ohio State had the best golf course. I think ours is in better shape, really. And our East course is also in wonderful shape. They do a great job on both of those golf courses. I can't imagine when Arthur Hills came in and made some changes and worked very hard with the groundspeople. And I think they did a wonderful job. I think the thing we lacked was maybe more impressive pro shop. It was the same building as when we came. So I think it was the same structure as when the course was built in what, 1956, I think it was, something like that. It was just a few years old when we got here. But then they, you know, they'd add a porch, or they'd add it, or they put partitions in, and, you know, had a women's locker room. But originally it was just one big room, you know, and it wasn't all that impressive. But now that they've got the new structure going, and the pro shop's going to be, they're going to re, what do I want to say? Not reassign,
relocate.
But relocate the holes.
Right.
In other words, number 15 as it is now is going to be number 1.
Right.
And number 6 is going to be number 10. And then the pro shop will be over in that area by the U Club. So I think it's going to be very impressive. And when teams come here, that they can stay right there and be so close to the golf course, I think it's going to be very, very impressive. So I think they've done a wonderful job. And then, of course, the practice facility on the east side, that's just one of the absolute